welcome to the Old Time Radio Daily Westerns, the first Old Time Radio Daily Western podcast that brings you a show from the 1930s through the 1960s. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and today is March 31st, 2010. Today's episode is brought to you by Amazon.com. If you plan on doing any online shopping, check out otrwesterns.com/Amazon to start your shopping experience today. Today's episode is going to be Challenge of the Yukon. Original air date on these two episodes, the first one's going to be January 20th, 1944, and the second one's going to be January 22nd, 1944. Titles are, the first one's going to be Macbeth's Bloody Knife, and the second one's going to be Designed for Murder. Hope you guys enjoy.
The Challenge of the Yukon. Run, King! Run, you husky! King, the swiftest and strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the Yukon during the gold rush of 98. That was the year that brought over 50,000 men swarming into the Klondike region, and the greed for gold led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, the force preserved a splendid record in maintaining the right. The challenge of the North was answered, and justice ruled triumphant. The Yukon wilderness bristled with countless small settlements, set up hurriedly by men who came to the country to get rich quick. Placerville was such a town, more righteous than many, but it too had its share of lawlessness. In the Green Parrot Cafe, men were crowded in the back room, their voices raised. In the center of the crowd stood Fred Malone, a bewildered expression on his face.
What's the difference what he says? We found the knife on him, didn't we?
That's right. He murdered Banker Mack just as sure as you're a foot high.
Hey, now wait a minute, fellas.
We heard all we wanted, Malone.
Quiet. You shut your mouth now, Clem. We gotta handle this thing fair and square like.
Nothing fair and square about the way he knifed Mac, was there?
Well, murder's one thing we ain't had much of here in Placerville.
All the more reason why we gotta take steps to make sure it don't happen again.
All the more reason we'll give Fred the right to state his case. Plain for everybody to hear. Mind you now, I ain't defending him none, but... Well, I say let him speak up.
Well, I ain't in favor of it. He ought to be strung up. But if Joe says let him speak, then I agree with him.
Well, I'm the owner of this cafe, and it's my opinion. Time wasted is time talking, and wasted, what is it? What?
Hang him! That's what I say! Sergeant Preston, when did you get in?
I got the news from the bartender when I came in, Fred.
Well, I'm awfully glad you're here, Sergeant.
Yeah, so am I. Now maybe we'll get some real action on this. You just get in, Sergeant?
Yes. I found the town nearby deserted. Everyone seems to be gathered in the cafe. I'm mighty sorry about Banker Mac.
Clem found him. He rushed right over here with the news. Mac was knifed, Sergeant, and we discovered Fred had the knife that seems to have been used. Well, you can see for yourself, Sergeant. We handled it careful so as not to disturb anything. It might be animal blood, but it don't look that way to me.
I've already seen Mac. I'd say he's been dead about 10 hours. Where were you last night, Fred?
I was right here. Right in this room, playing cards with Sam and Mike.
That's what you was doing the early part of the evening.
What time did you leave here?
Well, I don't remember what time it was.
Where'd you go after you left?
I don't remember that either.
Listen, he don't remember.
But I don't remember, I tell you. I came in here this morning and Clem had just brought in the news. Mike said that since the murder was done with a knife, everybody ought to be searched. That's how they got my knife. Everybody knows I always carry one.
Well, that's your story, Fred?
Well, I know it's not such a good one, but it's the truth, I tell you.
Yes, you're right. It isn't such a good one. I'll have to arrest you on suspicion of murder. Meanwhile, I want to do some investigating.
It was a few hours later. Mike Andrews restlessly paced the floor of the office in the cafe. Leaning forward in his chair, Sam Marshall's look of irritation was a contrast to the worried frown on the other man's face.
Will you quit that walking up and down for the love of Pete?
All right, so I'll stop. But you better start thinking of some way to stop Preston.
I tell you, we don't have a thing to worry about.
But the whole town thinks Fred's guilty.
Now sit down and take it easy.
Now listen, Sam. Maybe you think I'm crazy, but you ain't been up here as long as I have.
So what? I'm making out. Everything's working just as I planned it. Now Malone admitted he don't remember where he was. Everybody knows he was drinking, and everybody knows he was burned up when Mac told him he wouldn't lend him the money he wanted.
That's not what I'm talking about. You don't know this Moundy.
Moundies are human. All they want is somebody to pin the crime on. I'll let him hang, Fred. Then all
you
we
heard
to...
what he said. He only arrested him on suspicion of murder. He didn't arrest him for murder. What's more, he said he was going to do some investigating. I'm telling you, Preston's one man that's never been fooled.
Forget it. There's a first time for everything.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
But I've heard a lot of fellas talk the same way. The ones that didn't swing are looking out from behind bars right now.
See, on your account that I got into this thing, you and that rich strike of yours...
You'll get every dollar out of it you put in.
Well, Mike, there's no reason for us to have an argument over this. I didn't mean anything. You just leave all the details to me. I took care of drugging Fred, didn't I?
Oh, I'm not arguing. I'm just telling you that where Mounties are concerned, you have to be sure. If I'd have known Preston was due in town...
Wait a minute.
Huh?
I got an idea.
It better be a good one.
Look, folks are mighty excited about this. Now maybe if we could persuade them, like Preston was delaying justice, and that if the people had take the law in their hands, it might be a good way to prevent any more crime.
What do you mean?
Ever see a lynch mob?
Yeah, sure. You think... Say, maybe that's it.
Maybe nothing, that is it. Well, with Malone strung up, everybody will be satisfied. And if the people do it, nobody can go back on us.
Yes, sir, that's it. I'll give you credit, Sam. You sure know how to use your head.
It's a good thing one of us does. Now you get busy stirring everybody up. While Sergeant Preston's busy investigating, we'll have our own private hanging.
The two men stirred up the townsmen. And soon an angry crowd stormed the jail in Placerville, the small building that before had held miscellaneous Indian and white prisoners for minor offenses. In Preston's absence, the men overpowered the guard and soon marched Fred Malone out.
All right, we mean business, Fred. So just keep stepping.
No, you're hanging the wrong man. I tell you, I didn't have anything to do with killing
Everybody Mac. Everybody heard you arguing with him, saying he'd be sorry he didn't stake you.
But I didn't mean...
No matter what you meant.
Yeah, it's cool. Let's get this over with before Star snooze.
Gotta get a rope to tie his hands.
Looks like this is my only chance, and I'm taking it.
Hey, look out. He's getting away.
After him. Come on.
What a question here is this.
Makes no difference what you men thought. You're all responsible for the escape of a prisoner.
Sergeant, if there's anything we can do...
Well, there's nothing you can do now. King and I'll set out to trail Fred. When we return, the men who are behind the attempt to lynch him will answer to me.
On the trail north of Placerville, King ran ahead of Sergeant Preston's pack. As the Mountie's sled covered the miles, a heavy snow began to fall. But the great dog never hesitated.
On, King! On, you husky!
Sweeping away from the trail, the wind had driven the snow into solid banks. But the sled tracks covered a level, evenly blanketed stretch skirting the frozen river. Suddenly, the great dog King stopped.
Ho, you huskies! Ho! What is it, King? He's turning back. I wonder... King, somebody back there. I'll have to... keep going. Keep going, this snow.
The snow fell on the Mountie and on King's thick fur as he stood by his master, planting himself in front of the man as if to protect him. Glancing to the nearest drift of snow, he waited a moment and then raced toward it. On the far side was an opening large enough for a man to pass through. The inside of the drift had been hollowed out, igloo fashion. It was there Fred Malone had sought refuge.
What the... King, he's found me. Preston's trailed me. Don't worry, I won't try to escape. How can I out here?
Might as well go out. That's funny. Seems like he wants something. Well, maybe trying to tell Preston he got in court.
But if Preston was with him, he'd be here by now.
Well, I don't see him. All right, King, you don't have to pull me. I'm coming. Well, he's leading me.
Say, that's a dog team. Well, I'll be... It's Preston, and he's hurt. He's been shot. Have to carry him.
You...
Never mind, Sergeant. You'll be all right. Taking you to my deluxe cabin. Who shot you?
King.
Now, don't you worry, King. We'll get him back on his feet. Might take a couple of days, but he'll be all right.
How long have I been here, Fred?
2 days, Sergeant. How do you feel?
Fine. When I first saw you out on the trail, I thought you'd tried to kill me. I owe you an apology. If you were the man who fired that shot, King would be growling at you this minute. He warned me, you see, but I didn't realize the danger in time. Someone else wanted me dead.
Yeah, but who?
Probably the same man who wanted Banker Mac dead.
Then you believe I didn't do it?
Your saving my life proves that to me. Fred, listen to me. We'll go back to town. I'm still a little weak, but I'll ride in the sled. For the sake of appearances, I'll have to put you in jail. But with your help, we'll bait the trap for a murderer.
News of Sergeant Preston's return to town with his prisoner in custody spread rapidly. With it, another story spread. A story that did more to upset the easy complacency that had settled on Sam Marshall than the appearance of the Monty, whom the cafe owner believed was dead. Early darkness settled over Placerville as Sam and Mike Andrews left the Green Parrot.
Sure, I told you he was dead. I shot him, all right, but he's jinxed.
Jinxed. Pretty healthy-looking jinx. You're as good as handling a gun as you are everything else. You must have missed him.
He fell, I tell you. I saw it. How'd we get into Mac's cabin?
Slipped in through the back door. Know the place by heart. Once I get to the desk, it'll be easy.
I sure hope so. Cut through here.
Right.
One good thing the place is dark. You don't think he might have kept that ledger Malone was talking about at the bank, do you?
Yeah, he kept all his personal business separate from the banks. Here.
Maybe that idea of Malone's was wrong. I never knew Mac kept a set of books for what he lent out private-like.
Mac was a banker. Once he put a dollar in anything, he wrote it down.
Fine time now to think of it. He could have saved a lot of trouble if you'd have remembered that the other night.
If I'd have remembered it. Who thought of using Malone's knife and then planting it on him when we took him to the tent? Not you.
I should have kept my mouth shut about the map. I should have been satisfied to let Mac stake me out.
Stake you out on what? Money you lost at my place gambling?
I could have gone to him and told him.
You could have, but you didn't. He knew you stole the map in the first place. We're splitting the gold 50-50, and don't forget it. Once I get my hands on his ledger... here it is. Wait till I... Yeah, this is it. Now nobody will know either one of us had any connection.
Then where you are, both of you.
What in the...
Recollect that, man, Preston.
You bet I will.
Preston, I've heard all I need to hang both of you. That trick with Fred's knife is an old one, Sam. When he said he couldn't remember what had happened that night, I suspected he must have been drugged. Today I questioned the men here in town and learned that you two were behind that attempt to lynch him.
And they almost did, too.
There was one thing that baffled me about this whole business. I couldn't understand the motive for the murder. Obviously, it wasn't robbery.
Well, they sure picked a good way to wipe out a loan.
So Mac staked you, Mike. And you turned around and lost the money to Sam.
Oh, the dirty skunk. Mac wasn't the kind to make the same mistake twice.
Oh, you can drop that ledger now, Sam. There's nothing in it.
What?
I put it there today myself.
Hey, what's that dog growling at me for? Get away from me. Hey, he's gonna...
He recognizes you. King never forgets, Mike. He knew you fired at me on the trail.
You're crazy. I never fired...
This is the one, huh, boy?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, maybe if you look at him more closely, King.
Hey, get him away! Get him... Call him off! It was me, I did it!
All right, fella, that's enough, boy.
Well, Sergeant, I'm sure glad this is cleared up.
Yes, Fred. Thanks to you and King here, another case is closed.
Ooh.
Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, brought to you every week at the same time, originated in the studios of WXYZ Detroit. The characters and events in tonight's drama were fictitious. Bob Height speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
The Challenge of the Yukon.
A king, Manu Husky!
The Wonder Dog King, swiftest and strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the new Northwest country, where the greed for wealth and power led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, Sergeant Preston and his Wonder Dog King met that challenge, and justice ruled triumphant. Two men walked into the long, narrow frame building that served as a bank in Morriston. They walked one after the other, and before he closed the door behind him, the second man looked back to the warmly dressed lookout standing by the sleds. They exchanged nods, and apparently satisfied, the man closed the door.
Looks like you're about ready to close up.
Huh? Oh, yes, that's right, we are. We just made it in time. Say, I don't think I've ever seen you before. Going to open an account here?
No.
Oh, then you have one. Funny, I never forget a face. I never would have thought that... What's the name?
We're wasting time, boss. Let's get the dust and get out of here.
What did you say the name was?
I didn't. Drop that book, mister, and reach. Now you can walk over and open that safe.
Oh, but
you heard me, get moving.
Yes, sir.
Duke, you go over and get what dust in the cash drawer.
Sure, boss.
Quit stalling. Spin that combination.
I'm a little bit nervous. Now, maybe I'd better...
Stay where you are. Lift that paper, money, and the gold out of there.
I got what dust was out in the drawer, Chan.
Good. Now load all this in the sack.
There. That's all that was in the safe.
Let me see. Yeah, you're right. Well, you've been mighty obliging for a money count.
Now, wait. You're not going to... No,
that
please.
That number you got in the faces ain't going to do us any good. You ready, Duke?
I got it all, Chan. Except those pokes.
All right, then take these pokes and go on out to the sled.
Yes.
I'll be right with you.
Listen, I'll forget I even seen you. A lot of people come in and out of here.
I take any chance.
No, wait a minute, please, Isaac.
A week passed, and then, in the early morning at an isolated spot surrounded by birch trees, a driver halted his team of dogs. The sun glinted blindingly on the snow, and a fierce wind stabbed the man with icy intensity as he stood before the cabin.
Oh, it's you, Tech. Come on in.
Where's the boss?
Right here. Meet my friends.
My friend Jens Early, Chick.
Charlie Sullivan saw us leave the bank in Morriston. He's on his way to half mile now to meet Sergeant Preston.
Red was on the lookout.
Well, he slipped up. I was in the saloon over there when I heard about Sullivan. And if he gets to Preston Chan, your neck's as good as in a rope this minute. And the rest of us ain't much better off.
That Mountie.
That Mountie's been out to get you a long time. You've just been lucky so far that he ain't been able to get enough evidence to do the job up the way he'd like to. But it looks to me like you'll get all you'll need. Unless you stop Sullivan, and stop him fast.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Duke, get the sleds ready to travel.
Okay, sir.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to stop Sullivan. What's more, I'm going to stop that Mountie, too. I'm tired of running from that redcoat. Every time we get a good thing, he starts nosing around.
Wait a minute. It's suicide to murder a Mountie. Why, the whole force would be out on our skin.
Yeah, don't worry. We've already got an idea. Our first job is to head off Sullivan. Then we'll take care of Preston.
Taking the back trails, Chandler and his men made good time. The wary gunman had been silent during most of their trip, and when Chick returned from scouting late the next night to report he'd seen Sullivan making camp, Chandler questioned him for several minutes. Then, early in the morning, they were on the trail before daybreak.
Listen, Chan, I'd feel a lot better if you'd let me know what you plan to do.
You'll see in a few minutes. Ho, you huskies, ho there!
How do you expect to get down on the trail from here? Guess you expect the dogs to make a jump from this ledge.
See that herd of caribou over there?
Yeah, sure, but what's that got
to
do with...
Pass down there is mighty narrow, isn't it?
Yeah, it's narrow. So what?
So Sullivan will be coming through here in about 10 minutes. There's not a track down there yet, so... What's wrong?
Hey, there he is now.
Yeah. Whaley's well into the pass, so we won't be able to turn around in a hurry. Chick, double back quick. Drive over there behind the herd. When you hear my rifle, start firing. You get me?
Sure.
Mush, you huskies! Mush!
Once those bulls start running, there ain't a thing on feet that'll stop them. So, you have a meeting with Preston, huh, Sullivan? The only place you two will ever meet will be on the other side of the grave. It's getting closer. Wonder if Chick's ready yet. Now.
It was a week later, and on the trail north of Half Mile, where Charlie Sullivan had met his death, Sergeant Preston stood, looking up to the ledge walling the narrow pass.
Glenn McCall said this was about where it happened, fella. If Sullivan hadn't sent me a letter, I never would have known he was on his way to Half Mile. Well, evidently someone else knew, too.
The great dog King walked beside the Mountie, sniffing the air curiously. For mixed with the animal scent that came to his nostrils was another scent, the scent of a man. He looked at Preston questioningly, and then ran over the icy crust of the snow to discover the source. A few minutes later, he came on the man, leaning against a rock, his rifle trained on the Mountie, who walked back along the trail.
Preston's dog, huh?
Almost at the speed of light, King lunged at him, tearing the man's arm from the rifle. And as the dog stood, his fur bristling dangerously, he kept the man from retrieving the weapon that had fallen to the snow.
Caribou herd still in the hills, that's it. I'll get the money the same way I got Sullivan. All right, you mutt. Too bad my revolver's in camp.
King caught the threatening tone in the man's voice. And as the man retreated, leaving the rifle behind, the dog waited until he was out of sight, and then went back to his master. Carefully, the Mountie searched the hills and the trails for the signs of a camp, unaware that the tracks Chandler left in the snow were designed to lead him into a death trap. The next morning, with King leading the dogs, Preston followed the sled tracks of the man who seemed to be playing hide-and-seek with him. The sharpness of the outlines told him he was close to the man he sought.
Well, he's going through the pass, fella. We'll turn here and take the trail through the trees. We'll make better time. With luck, we may be able to head him off.
On, King! On, you huskies!
A short time later, the Mountie sighted the slope, which eased down toward the pass. A herd of peaceful caribou milled around like cattle. Watching them, Preston saw two men standing well behind the herd with rifles resting on their arms. He went toward them, his own rifle in readiness. But King had caught a scent, the scent of a man he recognized, and the dog turned sharply back toward the ledge overlooking the trail.
Oh, you are... Oh, what?
Hey, Duke, it's a Mountie.
Drop those rifles and put up your hands.
And not before I get a shot at... Oh, my shoulder!
At the sound of the rifle shots, the frightened caribou raised their antlered heads and began to run. The two men standing before the Mountie's rifle looked wide-eyed after the herd. And while Chick Kramer put his hand to his wounded shoulder, an expression of horror crossed his face.
Duke, look! Down there in the pass, it's the boss! The caribou will run him down, he won't have a chance!
Sergeant Preston shifted his position. With his gun still trained on his prisoners, he glanced toward the pass. Standing firmly on the ledge where it graduated into a slope, was the great dog King, his eyes fixed on the man looking frantically at the frightened animals running toward him, their treacherous antlers lowered, their flying hooves drumming a terrifying message to the man trapped in front of them. Jack Chandler ran from his team toward the ledge, struggling for a foothold, reaching for brush, a twig, an extended rock, anything that would save him from the sure death running steadily toward him.
I gotta grab that rock. If it'll hold. Well, if I can only grab that rock, I'll be above the antlers.
His fingers closed on the edge of the rock. Jack Chandler raised his eyes to face the bared teeth and menacing growl of the dog who had disarmed him the day before. Like a man hypnotized, he looked into the dog's eyes. Then, in a breathless instant, Jack Chandler disappeared, to be swallowed up in the herd of frightened animals his men had stampeded.
Chandler? When Charlie Sullivan got it that way, I never thought the boss would.
Jack Chandler was responsible for the death of several men. He's beyond the law now, but you're not. You're under arrest, both of you.
The great dog rejoined the group of men, satisfied that the man who had fallen from the ledge would never again make an attempt on the life of his master. But as Duke and Chick moved sullenly toward the Mountie's sled with Preston's gun held on them, neither King nor the policeman knew that both men had but one thought: to escape.
It's a good 2 days' trip to town, so we'll hit the trail now. Travel as far as we can, and then make camp. All right. Get the dogs up, King.
That night, as the light of the campfire flickered low, the two outlaws talked quietly.
You know what's waiting for us when we get to town, Duke?
Yeah, sure. But I ain't aiming to stop one of the Mounties' bullets.
This way we stand a chance. We got the dust stashed away, and now it'll only be a two-way split. I tell you, we got everything to gain and nothing to lose.
King raised his head from between his paws as the two outlaws crept from their bedding.
What is it, fella? Quiet, boy.
Get to your sled, Duke. Come on, get out. Let's get out of here.
Apparently, Sergeant Preston dozed, his head low on his chest, oblivious to the persistent tugs from King's teeth pulling at his sleeve. As the sled started and was well away from the camp...
Oh, don't look so disgusted, fella. They've made a getaway. But if my guess is right, they'll head for the spot where they've got their loot hidden. All right, get the dogs up, boy. We're going after them.
With King leading the dogs, the Mountie followed the tracks clearly edged in the snow. It was after daybreak when they arrived at the cabin. Preston pulled his sled into the protection of a rock formation. Meanwhile, inside the cabin...
Hey, Chick, what are you standing at the window for? Come on, give me a hand with this dust.
Yeah, I should have thought of it. The Mountie, he followed us, Duke. Get your rifle. We'll give him a fight just wait till he lifts his head over that rock. Yeah, I think we're going to bag us a Mountie, Duke.
There, give it to him. He's ready to shoot it out, Chick.
Yes, so are we.
The long, endless minutes the battle waged. Two men against one, the bullet striking against the rock sheltering Preston. Then, a word from his master, King went silently through the timber, doubling back toward the cabin. The great dog knew what he had to do. Instinctively, he steeled his body for the impact that was to come. The large window was at the side of the cabin. Duke and Chick were firing from the front of it through the cracks in the logs. King measured the distance, then broke into a run, gathering speed with each long stride, and then the jump. Seconds later, the window smashed at the impact of the dog's body.
Hey, dog, get him, Duke!
Stop! How can I get him? He don't stay in one place long enough to get a beat.
Right, drop your guns. You heard me, drop them.
Okay.
Well, I see I'm just in time to take the gold you've collected back to town with me. You're under arrest, both of you. And this time there'll be no escaping. Yes, fella, thanks to your help, the case is closed.
These copyrighted dramas originate in the studios of WXYZ Detroit, and all characters, names, places, and incidents used are fictitious. They're sent to you each week at the same time. Jack McCarthy speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
Don't forget to check out the show notes site, otrwesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@otrwesterns.com. Call, leave me a voicemail, 707-98-OTRDW. Again, that's 707-986-8739. Tomorrow's going to be an episode of Have Gun, Will Travel, and we'll see you then. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.